Please stand by.
This is the weekend of April 23rd, 2005. I'm Jeff.
I'm Pat.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat. ThisandThatPodcast.com. Pat, you're back in the studio.
I'm back. I'm glad to be back. Jeff, I missed you.
Oh, I missed you too. I don't know if you... I got kind of mixed reviews of last week's podcast doing it on my own, but it just wasn't the same.
Oh, I listened to it. I thought it was good.
Well, that you're very kind, but I think this show suffered a little bit. Now we're back. And we're back and we're mad.
We're mad.
Are you going to tell us about your vacation?
I'm going to tell you about it in a little while.
Okay. By the way, I wanted to tell everybody we're on show number 10.
Number 10.
Can you believe we've gone this far?
Wow. No, I can't.
I know.
It's like our 10-year anniversary.
It is. You know, I remember when we started this thing. Do you remember?
Oh, let's think about it.
Let's think.
We're doing this first broadcast. This is fun, isn't it, Pat?
It is.
And we're doing cassette casting, which we're very excited about. Yay!
I don't quite get this cassette casting idea, Jeff.
Well, cassette casting is really simple. It's brand new. Not too many people know about it, but we basically, I'll give out our mailing address later, but people will send us a letter, and we will ship out cassettes. We're recording these cassettes to people, so they can basically subscribe. And I don't know how often we're going to do this, maybe once a week or so, but I'll just make copies of the cassettes and ship them out. And what's really cool is that you've heard of these Sony Walkmans, right?
Oh, yeah, they're all the latest rage.
It's really cool.
Everybody has them.
Well, that's the problem, though. Not everybody has them. They're not as ubiquitous as I would like. But what that'll allow is that people will be able to hear us and actually be on the road or on the move. It's such a groovy, cool, hip, new concept.
That's really great. I don't think it'll be a problem sending them out either.
I know. I don't think it'll be a problem either. I think it'll be easy. And do you have any people subscribed yet? Any of your friends or family?
No.
Well, let's better get going because this is going to be hot, baby.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
Well, first thing we need to do is figure out a name.
A name, What about PR and J?
It's kind of like a sandwich, PB and J, but it's our initials.
Exactly.
Hey, that would be kind of cool. We could even have like a symbol of a sandwich.
Oh, and put it on the cassettes.
Put it on the cassettes.
Great idea.
That would be so cool. But
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say we should look at some other options too, but I like that one. What about Jeff and the girl?
Jeff and the girl? No, I think it should be Jeff. It should be Pat and the guy.
Why
do I have to be the girl?
Because you're a girl.
I don't want to be the girl.
I don't want to be the guy.
Forget it. Let's see. What about Texan noise, since we're from Texas.
Hey, that's pretty cool. And we're annoying? Is that where you're going with
that? No, like noise. Like we're making noise.
Okay, Texan noise.
Exactly.
All right, that's not too bad. We could also go with alcoholic insider.
That's interesting, except we're not alcoholics, Jeff.
Oh, how about sexaholics insider?
Sexaholics. Well, what about, you know, how Jimmy Buffett has Margaritaville? What about Jeff and Patville?
Jeff and Patville. Hey, that's cool.
Yeah, I like that one.
We could be like, we could even have on our cassettes a little sign that says, "Welcome to Jeff and Patville." That would be so hip.
You know, sometimes I feel kind of annoyed about a lot of things. What about the bitterest Pat?
The bitterest Pat?
Yeah,
that's you are bitter.
I'm the bitterest.
But where's
baby.
My name in all that?
Who cares?
The bitterest Jeff. The bitterest Pat and Jeff.
All right, well.
I don't know. How about, you know, we're not alcoholics, but maybe something like... What do the Italians say when they're toasting?
Well, they say things like salute.
Ah, the salute cassette cast.
No, that's too weird. Or chin chin.
Chin chin.
No,
what else is there?
Viva.
Oh, yeah, like Viva cassette cast.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That could be kind of fun. All right, I like that.
What about Jeff and Pat take over the world?
Hey, Pat and Jeff. Jeff and Pat, yeah, that's better.
No.
All right, we got to decide a name. I don't know. Maybe something that rhymes with Jeff. How about... Left, calf, neph, ref. Nothing rhymes with Jeff.
I was going to say, nothing.
Nothing,
sorry,
chef.
Dork.
Well, maybe we could do a food show. We could be the chef and Pat and Jeff. Or we could invite the chef.
The chef and Pat. No, those are stupid.
The chef and Pat. Okay, maybe it has to rhyme with Pat. Maybe, you know, I don't know. This and that.
This and that? That sounds good.
This and that.
I think that's what we should have.
So, I don't know what really we're going to talk about in this thing, but maybe, what about, I don't know, what kind of music you've been listening to lately?
Well, lately I've been listening to this band called The Police.
The Police?
Yeah, The Police. They suck.
Oh, I know. They're the ones that sing that song.
Roxanne.
How does it go again?
Roxanne.
Roxanne.
You don't have to turn on the red light. Something like that. I think they're going
Roxanne.
Nowhere.
Roxanne. Don't they have that? bass player with a stupid freaking name. It's like a one-word name or something.
Yeah, I think it's Sting.
Ah, so stupid.
And have you seen him?
No,
he's
I haven't.
He's not attractive.
Really?
No.
So it's like a one-hit wonder, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
I've been listening to this. Have you heard this song? She's a maniac, maniac.
Oh, yeah.
On the floor. Michael Sambello. That guy.
He's going places.
You know, I am not a music genius, but you mark my words. Michael Sambello is going places.
I'm marking your words.
The Police, one-hit wonder.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we'll also have to intersperse our talking with some kind of sound effects, don't you think?
Oh, that's a great idea. Hey, I got one right here. How's this?
That's great. I love it.
How about, I got another one. Listen to this one.
Ooh, wow. Not bad.
How about a double?
Oh, yowza, yowza. I don't know, Jeff. I think we're getting a little obnoxious here.
Oh, come on. It's fun. Sound effects are fun. Everybody will love them.
That was like a wet willy in my ear, Jeff.
Yeah.
I think maybe no sound effects.
Okay. Well, another person I've been listening to lately is Michael Jackson. I love Michael Jackson. He is the king of pop.
He's the king of pop, but I didn't even like him when they were the Jackson 5.
Really?
No, that guy ghouls me out.
He ghouls you out?
Yeah, I think he's going to be a child molester, I'm sure. I can see it in his eyes.
Oh, man, that's a stretch.
Well. You mark my words.
Well, we got to think of something else. I will mark your words. We'll look back on this, and we will judge. Now, one thing, you know, I got to figure out really what to talk about, and I don't have a, you know, I've got all this great ideas for doing the cassette cast, but I don't have anything to talk about.
Oh, we have lots of things to talk about, like math, for example.
Math is good.
Maybe we can be operations research stars.
I just want to be a cassette caster.
Ooh, that's good, Jeff.
I just want to be a cassette caster. Not bad, huh?
That was really good.
Hey, Patty.
Ray, what?
What are you wearing?
Nothing. I got a short skirt on, baby.
You know, we need to, like, do a VHS and ship out, video cassettes, too. But those are so high-tech.
Oh, yeah, they're too high-tech. Jeez. Maybe in beta.
Maybe a beta format is always good. I love that beta format. That will win out.
I'm sure.
We are procrastinators. No, we're
prognosticators.
What she said. Masturbators.
Prognosticators.
Procrastinators. Whatever you said. Anyway, this is going to be fantastic. I can't wait to ship out the first cassettes.
Me either. I'm ready to go, Jeff.
I'm
make
ready.
The show.
All right.
Aww.
That was good times.
Those were good old times. I remember being young when I didn't have to wear underwear.
I know. I never wore underwear. wait a minute. Are we supposed to wear underwear as adults?
Never go commando.
Never go commando. But I guess we got a real podcast to do now, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Forget about all the nostalgia of those good times.
Well, we're still having good times, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're still having good times. The good times are just beginning.
Well, I had a good time on my vacation.
Did you know? Before we get to that, let me just tell the viewers something I'm proud of.
Jeffy,
yes.
Listeners. They're listeners.
Oh, they're viewers. We got this little camera now.
I can barely view you.
Can you guys see us?
What about my cleavage?
What cleavage?
I always say what cleavage.
But no, I did want to say we got to listen to our song, I Want to Be a Podcast Star, was played by Dawn and Drew, the number one podcast in America.
Well, they fight one and one with the Catholic Insider.
Yeah, there's neck and neck, isn't it? It's kind of been fun logging into Podcast Alley. One day it's one day it's the next. But I just wanted to say thank you, Dawn and Drew. That was very kind of you to play the song.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Tell all your friends who you listen to. I want to be as popular as Dawn and Drew. Dawn and Drew. Dawn and Drew. I just want to be a podcast star. I just want to be a podcast star.
Now tell us about that vacation of yours.
Well, I went to Bend, Oregon. Actually, I flew to Seattle, and I joined my brother and his wife and three kids, and we drove 7 hours south into Bend, Oregon, and we met up with another family who has four kids. So there were seven kids.
And you love kids so much.
Well, one kid was 7, 8 months old. There was 8 months. 3 years old, five.
Does a seven-month even qualify as a kid? It's almost like it's not quite anything yet.
It was a cute
kid. Just a
kid.
Screaming thing that emits.
It didn't scream that much.
Oh.
It liked to play. It sat on the floor a lot. He sat on the floor a lot, played with the salad bowl, and it was kind of cute. So there
That's
was
cute.
Then there was the then there was a 5-year-old and a 9.5-year-old, an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Wow, that is a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Bunch of kids.
It was fun.
Yeah? Yeah. Well, you know, when it's all relatives, I guess that helps, right?
I have to tell you something that was kind of funny, too. You know, my brother's wife and the other woman, the other mom, they did a lot of cooking. I shirked all those duties and responsibilities because, after all, you know, they're cooking for their family, you know.
Pretty unbelievable. let me just say, when we've taken ski trips in the past, groups of 5 or 6, you know who the cook always is?
Me.
And who's willing and loving doing it is Pat. You're always the cook.
Yeah, but you know me. I got to be in charge. And that's,
yes, you do.
You know, with these other two women, they were in charge. I wasn't in charge. So I'm happy to sit out in the back and do my own thing. But,
all right.
But we had, on the third day that we had pancakes, and I love pancakes, and you know, when you're
yummy.
When you don't have kids and you're not married or anything like that, you don't get things like pancakes. On the third day, my little nephew said, "Mom, let's not have pancakes anymore. We've had them 3 times. I wanted to tell him, "Oh, baby, you just don't know. You're not going to get pancakes when you grow up."
No, you're not.
I mean, not you know, you'll have to go out to get them. Somebody won't make them, and that all you have to do is go to the table and
you'll
eat.
You'll end up getting McDonald's pancakes and how they suck compared to regular
they
pancakes,
do suck.
Right?
Anyway.
Wow.
I also went one day of snowboarding.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, Jeff. I went skiing. You remember I went skiing the last time 7 years ago. That's when I tore my knee up.
Yes.
And I also skied. I learned how to snowboard probably in 1991 or so.
Okay.
And this is when I was going out with that Lebanese guy, Khaled.
Oh, yeah.
Khaled and I went skiing several times, and I snowboarded then. I didn't snowboard very well, so, you know, my nephew actually said to me, "Aunt Pat, are you going to come on? Are you going to ski with us?" And I'm like, "Well, we'll have to see." And he said, "Or are you going to spend all your time in the little run?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't really know." Okay, what happened was I went several times down the little itty-bitty run called Home Run. And
right.
Then my brother, after lunch, says, "Oh, come on, you know, you can take this other run." Well, Jeff, the whole run was green. But I thought it was so steep. I was going down the hill, and I was like, frickin' Joe, I'm going to tell Mom you tried to kill me. It took me... It took me forever to get down this one run. My nieces and nephews went down it 3 times in the amount of time it took me to go down one.
Well, I'm sure if you were skiing the green, though, you'd think, this is nothing. Because, I mean, you know, you're a skier, so.
Well, it was terrifying.
But on a snowboard, I'm sure I'd be the same way as you. Ugh, that'd be hard.
The next day, I was sore all over. Even my neck hurt.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, my thighs didn't hurt and my calves didn't hurt.
That means you weren't working the snow.
Well, you know, because when you fall on a snowboard,
yeah,
you're on like your back and you have to get up, and so you're completely on your back and you have to use your whole torso to get up. So that's why my neck hurt. They were making fun of me the next day,
as they should have been. Actually, I'm impressed that you even got on the snowboard. I mean, you've been a little bit gun shy ever since you had the knee problems.
Well. I'm not sure I'll do it again, to be honest.
You'd never catch me on a ski board.
Oh, here was the other thing. Where we went was at the end of the season, and this was a great disappointment for me, as you will discover, but everybody that took my money or serviced me in some way, shape, or form, like gave me my boots, gave me my board,
right,
easily was 55 or older.
Really?
There were no young guys.
Interesting.
There were little kids and old men. And
wow.
Even at the bar, because after I fell, I made this really one really good wipeout, and I said, "That's it, man. I'm going to the bar." I went to the bar, and the man who served me was old and gray.
That's so weird, because every time I go skiing, it's always the 20-year-olds working everything, right?
Exactly, and that's what I was
and
hoping
that's what
to
you
find.
Love.
I was hoping to look real sad and pathetic.
Pat always flirts a little bit with those 20-year-old ski guys that probably have no future in life, but she loves them.
I love them.
Now, did you still like 20-year-olds when you were 20, or did you like 10-year-olds?
No, when I was 20, I had older boyfriends.
Ah, okay.
In fact, when I was 18, I had a boyfriend that was 29.
Wow. Now, was there ever an age where you thought, wow, I like the guys my age? Did that ever happen?
No, because when I was 22, I had a boyfriend that was 33.
Oh, boy. Go figure, baby.
But see, I like men who are 33.
Yeah.
That's my age.
That's your age. Okay.
It's still my age.
Ooh, we got an ambulance going by.
Whee!
Whee!
So the trip was really great, and the other accomplishment I had on the trip was that I read a book.
Great.
The book was called Uncle Tungsten, Memories of a Chemical Boyhood. And the author is Oliver Sacks.
That sounds really intriguing.
Oh, come on, Jeff. It was great.
Was it fiction or nonfiction?
It is nonfiction, and it's basically a memoir. This guy was born in 1933, and he tells of his life growing up from about 10 to 14, and his enthusiasm and actually almost enthrallment with chemistry. He had lots of uncles that that helped him out, and he had one uncle was called Uncle. He was a chemist,
right?
The Uncle Tungsten, and they were talking about the periodic table of elements, and I just saw kinds of names that made me go, "Oh, I remember that name," like Robert Boyle, who's considered the father of modern chemistry, and Rentgen.
Yeah, Robert Boyle was in that movie Old Frankenstein, wasn't he?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Peter Boyle.
That's Peter Boyle, okay. You dork. Rentgen, who discovered the X-rays. He talked about Madame Curie, who discovered the element radium.
I've heard of Madame Curie.
Radium,
sure.
And radioactivity, and Ernest Rutherford, who's considered the father of nuclear physics. And I guess, you know, he discovered a gas called radon, and Michael Faraday, who is also a chemist and physicist. And I found out other interesting things like, you know what a Bunsen burner is, right?
Of course. Named after Bunsen.
Yes, it is named after, and Bunsen was a chemist.
Actually, Bunsen and burner were working together on that concept.
You know, I used a Bunsen burner. I didn't know it was invented by a chemist.
And you think, like, you know, it's not that sophisticated. But yet his name is known by every seventh grade chemistry student.
And then I learned the origin of, you know, you hear about people talk about being in the limelight.
Right.
Well, for a while I always did. I just didn't quite understand whether that meant you wanted to be in the background. You know, to me, I was thinking limelight.
How does it differ from being green in the spotlight, for example?
Right, it must be green, so you're in the back, you're way in the back. And then over time, I began to realize that being in the limelight meant that you were center stage.
So spotlight, kind of used interchangeably.
So basically, long, long time ago, when lights first were coming out, the lights had a, you know, they illuminated, but they weren't very bright light.
Right.
And they found that if you added lime into the mix of this, of certain lights.
They smelled better.
No, they were brighter.
Really?
Yes. So that they used that chemical reaction to light stages.
Wow.
So if you were in the limelight, you were on stage.
You got
so
the primo light, the
exactly.
center light. That's, wow.
I learned a lot.
You did learn a lot. You packed your vacation full of chunks of information.
Yeah, and I now want to read something trashy.
Well, I know. After that, pretty heavy book. Well, you know what happened?
Memoirs of a Porn Star.
Memoirs of a Porn... Oh, who wrote that one? A porn star, right?
No. Okay.
Was that a movie or...
No, I think it might have been
HBO
a song.
Special?
You're thinking Memoirs of a Geisha.
Oh, yeah, I did read that. That was very good. To ask you, what do you think about the new pope?
The new pope, well, you know, I guess his name is Benedict. I, of course, had to call up my mom and say, Mom, how do you say Benedict in Italian? Because they don't call him Benedict. I mean, it's
Benedetto.
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 Benedetto. Ah. And I said, are they calling him Benedict in Italy? And she said, oh, of course not. They're calling him Benedetto. I'm like, all right.
Benedetto. I'm calling him B-man.
B-man.
Or as your mom would say, that's very disrespectful. But I wanted to share something that I thought was very funny about the pope. I saw this poll in CNN. 3/4 of American Catholics, Pat. What does it say here? 74% said they were more likely to follow their own conscience on tough moral questions, and only 20% were likely to follow the Pope. Now, I just find that funny because it's sort of like, it's so American in the sense that
it is.
You know, we're independent. I don't need nobody telling me what my moral compass is. You know, the Pope is great. We love the Pope. I'm going to do what the heck I want to do. And these are Catholics. These aren't just like independent other people.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, my mom often talks about that. She thinks it's pretty, you know, she thinks that, for example, if you're going to be all about family values, you should be all about family values. And you shouldn't even be allowed to get divorced. You get married, that's tough. You marry somebody wrong, that's tough.
So you should be consistent, which would sort of make sense.
My mom thinks, you know, that Americans want to have it both ways, that they want to be able to get divorced, they still want to get communion, and, you know, they want everything the way they want it instead of following any of the rules. But I have to tell you, you know, my mom had four kids. And after she had the fourth kid, she told me this story, and I'm telling it now for everybody to know. So my mom's probably going to hell. She told me she went to go to the priest, and she said to him basically, you know, I got four kids. I'm this type of, you know, I think if I have any more kids, I won't be a good mom or a good wife. And he listened to her and said, I think you've done your responsibility to, you know, the Catholic Church, and you should now take care of yourself.
Really?
She took that to mean she could take birth control.
So he never really sort of said.
Exactly.
But he sort of implied.
But she felt like she got the okay, so she thinks she's going to heaven, but she's going to hell, Mom.
Well, 56, we're talking about that very thing, 56% of these same American Catholics that were polled said they were opposed to the Pope's and the Catholic religion's view on birth control. 56%.
Well, I think almost all, you know, all Americans are going to be opposed to it.
Yeah. What is it about America? I guess, you know, in some sense, I think, how can we be so bad? On the other hand, I think it's kind of cool that people are looking at moral. I guess the worst case is if you think of it as they're taking advantage, they're rationalizing their moral behavior. But I like to think of it as people are taking responsibility for their own actions more because we're an independent nation.
Well, I don't know. My mom also said that if you go to Italy, abortion is legal. There's not, and people not have Roe v. Wade complaint. People are not Roe v. Wade in their head off, you know, repeal it.
Right.
Well, they don't have a Roe v. Wade, but you know, conceptually what I mean.
Roe. I'm trying to think of a clever Italian name. Ravinsky, and no, that's
Ravinsky.
Polish.
It'd be Corleone versus Berlusconi.
Oh, no, that's a different case.
Well, you know, actually, Berlusconi's stepping down.
Who is Berlusconi?
He's the Prime Minister of Italy.
Supposed to know that?
You are supposed to know that. Italy is a first world country. It's in the EU, Jeffy.
I know, but I couldn't name those guys.
You know who? What's the name of that guy that runs England? What is his name?
John Major. No, he's old, isn't he? What's his name?
Now his name is not coming to me.
That's pathetic.
I can
visualize him. Tony Blair.
Tony Blair, right.
That's embarrassing.
And his wife, what's her name? It's like Shelley or Cookie or some...
Cookie Blair.
Goofy name like that.
I like that. Cookie.
Cookie Blair. It's not Cookie, but it's something like that.
Cookies are yummy.
So are you happy now that we have a religious leader?
I was in moral quandary for about 2 weeks. I didn't know what to do. I needed my direction.
Well, now you have it. So,
well, this guy apparently is like very conservative, and what I read someplace that they sort of voted for him because he's very conservative, sort of a John Paul II disciple, if you will, sort of probably kind of handpicked. But also, I read that they also liked the fact that he was old because they figured they wouldn't have him that long, which is kind of interesting, kind of sick in a way.
Well, my mom did when I asked her, are you happy about the Pope? The first thing she said is, oh, I think he's too old.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
And, you know, I want a hot Pope, you know, one that's 60. Come on, baby.
Well, the other thing I was thinking was, if, and I should be more schooled in this, but if the Pope...
I'll school you.
You'll school me, baby. If the Pope is sort of the leader of the religion... Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But if he's a spiritual leader, that's a different thing. And I can see let me explain this. I can see a spiritual leader being an old man, you know, like
the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, kind of. But a leader, I would think, would be, you know, you'd want a dynamic, a little bit younger, somebody who's really going to push an agenda and has the ability to do those kind of things. But I'm not sure if the Pope serves as a leader. I don't know if that's necessarily his job, but I know his job is a spiritual leader. I just don't know enough about what the Pope's role is.
Oh, I don't know. I guess I would have thought he was a leader too, besides just the spiritual leader, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, you might be right. And in that case, you'd think you would sort of want a younger guy who's sort of in, I don't know, in his career prime, if you will, to, you know, really make things happen on the Catholic front.
Well, all I can say is I was happy that there was black smoke.
Well, one more thing happened in the news that I wanted to let everybody know, because it didn't get wide circulation, was a woman named Marla Ruzicka died in Iraq. She was age 27, and she was an AIDS worker, an aid worker. But she was, I read about her whole profile. First of all, she was, I hate to say this, but she was hot.
Now, she wasn't an AIDS worker.
No.
She was, okay, an aid worker.
Well, let me explain what she did. When she was 17 years old, okay, she started doing charity work and aid work, you know, helping the world or whatever.
Right. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Where is she from?
She's from California. She's from America. She's American. And so she went to Iraq, and she was one of the very first to start getting attention to the Iraqis that were injured and dying, mm-hmm. and getting lobbying American politicians to get money to help support the injured in mm-hmm. Iraq. And she did this basically on her own. She went into dangerous circumstances, went basically house to house, looking for the injured, mm-hmm. you know, making their case, and then going to Washington and making her case there. And apparently she did all this with a lot of vigor. And according to Chris, when somebody dies, people speak highly of them, but apparently she was well-liked by everybody. Just mm-hmm. one of these people that always, you know, smiled. And I just find it kind of inspirational. And I think it's somebody that we should take pause to remember.
And what happened to her?
She was a victim of a roadside bomb. Actually, it was on the highway that they talk about from the airport into Baghdad, which was like the most dangerous road in Iraq, apparently. You know, at the age of 17, saying, I know what I'm going to do with my life, and I'm going to, she didn't just do all this by herself. She actually was the president of an organization that she put together. I think there should be more press for this woman, Marla Ruzicka. So it's anyway, that's my little tale.
Well, that's a nice story, Jeff. I'll read about her.
Yeah, did definitely look her up. I'll put a link on the website so everybody can take a moment. Well, that's the other thing I was going to ask you, if you wanted to take up Marla's work.
I should.
You should.
I probably wouldn't be as good.
I think it would be very, very, very difficult to do anyways, and you're placing yourself in constant danger and tough stuff. It's time for the Dallas Minute. And Pat, you probably don't have much of a Dallas Minute because you haven't been in Dallas.
No, I haven't been in Dallas. And I'm going to maybe combine two things just to talk about, because I got such many, many Dallas Minutes. First of all,
mini minute.
It's a mini minute. And maybe this isn't a Dallas Minute, but, you know, this week they've been, our KER, our public radio station, KERA, has been doing their pledge drive. So if you listen to public radio and you haven't pledged, please pledge. But this is the first year ever, Jeff, that I have not been listening to the pledge. I always listen to it, and I kind of enjoy it. I love knowing, did they make their numbers? I think I'm the only person that enjoys it.
Yeah, probably.
But after as many years as I've been listening to public radio, I don't want to listen to the pledge drive any longer. So I have been enjoying lots of podcasts.
That's what I was just going to say. That's what podcasts were made for, a pledge drive on NPR. It's so sad. But you know what? I'm glad you reminded me. Are they still doing it? Because I haven't been listening this week because I've been so podcasting so much and are listening to podcasts. And I need to give them money because I always do. And it makes me feel good.
That was part A of my Dallas Minute. And my part B of my Dallas Minute relates to the fact that when I first moved to Dallas, I remember driving on this road called Lover's Lane.
Lover's Lane.
And I said to myself, I want to live near Lover's Lane. And I kind of do now. And today I had lunch with Susan at what I think is probably kind of a Dallas institution celebration.
On Lover's Lane, you bet.
On Lover's Lane.
You bet.
And because the weather is so nice, she and I sat outside. I had a great salad with like some jalapeno ranch dressing, and it was a fabulous day.
Excellent.
And well, you know, I worked from home, so I drove there. It took me about 3 minutes to get there, had lunch, drove back, and I felt like I had been someplace instead of locked up in my office.
Going to 7-Eleven, right?
Hey, Hey, no talk. Careful. You know what happened at 7-Eleven? They raised the prices of the coffee.
Probably as a result of this podcast.
The coffee for the 20 ounces used to be $1.29, and now it's $1.40.
I wonder if it's the earthquakes in Sumatra. You never know.
I mean, it's
an outrage.
It's an outrage.
Absolute outrage.
I'm going to have to write to this. Is it the Southland Company?
Yes.
I'm going to have to write to them.
And the Southland Company has just made an announcement last week that they are going to move their headquarters. They're headquartered here in Dallas, downtown, but they're going to move it to the New Arts District that they're creating, which is, so there'll be sort of a centerpiece business in the New Arts District.
Wow.
You know, by the Meyerson and where the new Opera Hall is going to be.
I'm going to protest their price increase. I'll be the lone person.
You'd be the only
out there.
One out there. I think that would be great.
Well, what's your Dallas Minute,
Well,
Debbie?
You know, there's a place that I go to lunch. It's right across the street from where I work in North Dallas. It's on Frankfurt and off the tollway called Kathy's Wok.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Dallas is not known for its Chinese food. We did talk about Jiangxi a few shows ago, and that was an awesome place for dumplings. But generally, we don't have good Chinese food. Kathy's Wok, I think, does a pretty good job. And I've always had really good, consistent. I like Kung Pao and some of their noodles.
Kapow.
Kung Pao. Kung Pao. I just like saying it. And some of their noodle dishes, and it's pretty good. One word of warning, though, if you ever go, do not order anything but Chinese food. I made the mistake of ordering Pad Thai once, and it was the worst food I've ever eaten. And in fact, it turned me off the Kathy's Wok for so long until finally some workmates said, no, it's great Chinese food. So it's good Chinese food. So
where is it?
It's on Frankfurt, right off the tollway.
All righty.
Yeah, so there you go.
Can't wait to go there.
All right.
Not.
I know. Just get the Pad Thai.
Wait, is it north of 360? I mean, of 635?
You know, yes, it is. You know, what's funny about that is both Pat and I are, you know, are city dwellers, as far as city Dallas has to offer. But I never got north of 635 until I took this job, which is located in Frankfurt in the tollway. And it's a whole new world. I won't say it's a great world, but it's a whole new world up there.
Is it a brave new world?
It's a brave new world.
I think you're brave to go up there.
I am brave. They charge you a toll to get up there, you know.
All righty.
Well, I think that's going to be the show today.
It's a short show.
Well, we sort of talked about this before. I think we're... My last show, me on my own, I went 47 minutes. That was just too freaking long. And I think what you guys want to hear is 30, 35 minutes. So that's what we're going to try to do every week. Try not to get, you know, over that. If you have any comments about that, please give us a holler on the phone line, which is 206-202-TALK or 206-202-8255. And Pat, what is our URL?
www.thisandthatpodcast.com.
Or you can email at us at jeffandpat@thisandthatpodcast.com. Or you can email me at jeff@thisandthatpodcast.com.
Or you can email me at pat@thisandthatpodcast.com.
No, email me. We should put those links on the website, but I, you know, we did have them up for a while, but then I thought, this is too complicated having three different, you know,
and if you want to, you can also write to my dog at bell@thisandthatpodcast.com.
Or you can email my mixer at mixer@thisandthatpodcast.com. All right, that's the show. Thank you. Thank you, Pat.
I'm glad to be back, Jeff.
It's so good to have you back in the studio.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.